Hold your Bibles up real high. Repeat after me. Say, this is God's word. Come on, I need you all to say it better than the married people because y'all need to be happy. Say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I need you to speak to these single people. I pray that their hearts are wide open to hear what you have to say to them. And I thank you for breakthrough, because there are some of them that feel like they're going to break down. But God, I declare a breakthrough in their life in the name of Jesus. I pray that their minds will be alert and that there will be no distractions to keep them from hearing what you have to say. And I thank you for shifting their lives from where they are to where you want them to be. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. There's somebody going through a mental, you feel like you ain't gonna make it. It's like you're mentally breaking down, and I'm here to tell you, you are going to make it. I don't know who you are. You are going to make it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. For those of you who are new here at Word of Truth Family Church, as a matter of fact, if you're visiting, would you just wave at me? Visitors, wave, 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 wave. Yes, 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 yes. So if you're here for the first time, or if you are watching us for the very first time, September is considered our relationship series month. So what we do, we take the whole month of September and we divide our church by relationship status. And so our 9 o'clock service that we did this morning was designed to minister to legally and biblically married couples. And then our 11 o'clock service, which is now, is actually designed for those who are single. Now, FYI, if you're currently separated from your spouse, but you are still legally married, you are not divorced at this point, then technically you are still married, and I want you to go and be in the 9 o'clock service too. Look at that. She done stormed out. I already got one. Stormed out. That's right. I have to reach everybody. I'm an equal opportunity pastor. So, the reason I do this every year, if you didn't know, is because I used to do marriage conferences and I used to do single seminars, and for whatever reason, the people that needed to attend wasn't there for whatever reason. They could have needed babysitting or they couldn't get off work. And so, I believe in reaching the masses. So God gave me an idea years ago. He was like, you know what? Just separate your church on a Sunday and minister to them all on that day. And so that's why I separate our church. And, so whatever I would say to you in counseling is what I'm going to say out here. Except for I'm going to be as discreet as possible. Okay. I'm going to try to use a filter. Okay. And so anyway, I'm going to do better. I'm going to use my filter, you know, and if I see my filter, you know, cause if you don't use a coffee filter, you're going to get a lot of coffee grains, right? You're still going to drink that coffee. You're just going to do a lot of spitting. Right. So if I start getting off, all I got to do is look over at the first lady. She going to give me that look like, you know. So, we're in a series, and the series title is called Let's Fight. Now, I'm going to be sharing some areas that I believe will help you fight to be a better believer, to be a better single, to be a better witness, and to have a better life. Can you say amen to that? So today, I just decided to just jump in real deep with y'all. Okay, and I'm praying that you're going to come back next week. But I'll tell you what, I'm a wound you real good today. So today's message title is Fight Till You Die, or Fight to Die So You Can Live. Fight to die so you can live. Everybody say, fight to die so I can live. And the purpose of the message today is to help singles value their relationship with Christ enough to die so they can experience His will for their lives and live. Now, when I first got saved, no one told me after accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that it was going to involve a lifetime of me saying yes to Jesus. I thought it was just a one-time situation. You say yes to Jesus, He changes your life, and you go on about your business. But no, that's not how it was. I didn't know that I was going to have to say yes to Him the rest of my life. And here's the problem with being single. If you don't realize that your next level is depending on your yes level, you can miss your next level by saying no to your yes level. Did you get that? In other words, what I'm saying is, no one told me that I would have to keep saying yes. And the moment I stop saying yes and say no is the moment God's instructions for my life cease. He don't need to tell me nothing else. I just need to obey the last instructions that He gave me. And because now over time, and I'll share some areas with you at the end where I had to just keep saying yes. And some of you here have stopped saying yes. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me. Yeah, no. Some of you have stopped saying yes. You've started telling the Lord no. Who are you to tell the Lord no? So, what I had to do is I had to learn how to die. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, they're going to put it on the screen. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, it's not I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I'm living right now in the flesh, I'm living that life by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. And so what I want to do today is share the secret to living the more than abundant life by teaching you the importance of dying to yourself. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes, and that is, and they all kind of relate, is abundant life only comes from knowing Christ. Abundant life only comes from knowing Christ. John chapter 10 verse 10. I'm going to share something and I'm going to put a twist on it that you may not have ever heard before. But listen to this. It says the thief comes not but to steal, and the thief comes to kill, and the thief comes to destroy. So stop right there. So if you're dating somebody and one of those three things is happening, they're not the right one. They stealing from you. They killing your self-esteem. They destroying your credit. I'm talking to somebody right now. Let me get back over here. Stick with my script. Well, Pastor, he needed a car. I'm talking to somebody right now. He needed a car. So I helped him get the car. No, you helped him ruin your credit. That's what you did. Anyway. Jesus says, watch this, church, I am come. Why did you come, Jesus? That they might have life. Why else did you come, Jesus? So that they might have this life. How, church? More abundantly. We're not just talking about a regular life. Regular people have that. Jesus said, I came that you have might have the more than abundant life. Watch the amplified version of this verse. Watch this now. It says the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Watch what Jesus says. He says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till their life overflows. Now I want you to notice something now. Watch this, church. Notice that there were no other connections to things or people that was mentioned by Jesus for you to have or experience the more than abundant life. He did not say, that verse did not say, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you a husband, to give you a wife, to give you a new job, to give you a raise, to give you a new car, to help you buy a house so that you can have the more than abundant life. He didn't say that. In other words, what I'm saying to you is Jesus did not connect other things or other people with us having the more than abundant life. And the problem is the moment we add any of those things as criteria to having the abundant life is the moment now you add false criteria to the abundant life equation. Because Jesus did not put any of that other stuff in the equation to have abundant life. He was the only equation to have an abundant life. And once we add false criteria to the abundant equation, like I'm gonna call it, then guess what? We add what I call false expectations. Now the abundant life looks like stuff Jesus didn't say it was supposed to have. In other words, if the more than abundant life only comes through Christ, then anything outside of Him that we believe will give us abundant life will eventually produce false expectations. And that's what we have in the church today. We have a church full of single people with false expectations because they think the abundant life includes stuff and people when the abundant life only, and I say only, includes Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the moment you introduce other things to the abundant life equation, because he said, I came that you may have life. He didn't say, I came to give you a car. I came to give you a house. I came to give you a husband. He didn't say that. But the moment you and I add those things to the equation, guess what's going to happen? We produce false expectations. And when false expectations happen, you know what happens after that? A sick heart. Proverbs 13:12, they're going to put it on the screen. It says, hope that is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Listen to the voice translation. Hope that's postponed grieves the heart. But when a dream comes true, life is full and sweet. And this is why so many singles are what I'm going to call discontent. It's because their definition of contentment includes things that are not part of God's definition. Let's read now John 10:10. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. It sounds like the only solution to abundant life that I just read is an experience with Jesus. And that's why, listen, church, you can obtain all the stuff you want in life and still feel a void. This is why people who have money, but they still commit suicide because they have a void. Money can't feel what Jesus can. Now, I know the church wants you, oh, it's just Jesus, but Jesus can't touch me at night. He can if you want him to. He can touch your spirit that need to be cleaned out. That's what he can do. He can do that. But see, the moment it's, listen, the moment that is Jesus and is the moment you will have some level of disappointment. Listen to this. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 10, because the average single person has included in this equation of abundant life stuff that Jesus did not promise. And because of that, now they become discontent. And Paul knew the secret to contentment. Listen to Philippians chapter 4 verse 10. I'm reading in the Voice translation. It says, I could hardly contain my joy in the Lord when I realized you have started to show care for me once again. He says, since you have not had the opportunity to show how much you care until now, I want you to know how it touched me. Watch verse 11. I'm not saying this because I need something. He says, I've learned to be what, church? Content. Notice contentment has to be learned. He said, but I learned to be content in whatever my circumstances are. He says, I know how to survive in tight situations. I know how to enjoy having plenty. In fact, I've learned how to face any circumstances. I've learned how to be fed, or I've learned how to be hungry. I've learned how to have it, and I've learned how to not have it. I'm going to add this. I've learned whether I'm married or whether I'm not married. I've learned that if I had a man, if I didn't have a man. I've learned if I had my car that I want or I don't have the car. He says, I can be content in every and any situation. And the only way that contentment is going to happen, he said, it is through the anointed one and his power. The only way you're going to have contentment that we're talking about is you got to know that Jesus is all you need and Jesus is all you got. He said, listen, I've learned how to be content. You know how I learned? He said, because I've learned because he has a relationship with the anointed one who gives him the power and the strength. So here's the question. So how does a single person die to their will so they can experience the more than abundant life? Because see, you got to die to your will in order to experience the life that I'm talking about. Here's what's interesting about the more than abundant life. It's real. It's available, but it must be tapped into. See, all of our staff, they have these access cards. Do y'all have one? They have these access cards, and around the building, there are these scanners, right? And to get in the building, they have to scan this. To get in certain areas, they have to scan this. This card gives them access to rooms that other people don't have access to. Well, the more than abundant life is an access, it's an access only area. The only way you get in is, watch this now, you have to scan your cross. Now, the key to the cross is, watch this now, you got to be on it. No, I ain't talking about this. No, I ain't talking about this now. He says, take up your cross. Well, guess what? What he's saying is, you got to die. You got to be dead. You got to be on that cross if you're going to follow me. So watch this now. I'll give you your access card back. So here's point number two. Let's talk about now what it looks like to die. Because this... that's not fun. No one comes to church to hear, you gotta die. So an abundant life only comes from an abundant death. I'm gonna say that again. An abundant life only comes from an abundant death. John chapter 12 verse 23. It says, and Jesus answering saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if that corn of wheat, if it dies, it will produce or bring forth much fruit. Here's a take-home statement. You can take it home with you. My fruit level is determined by my death level. He that loves his life, listen, church, now. He that loves his life, you're going to lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, Jesus says, let him follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If you're going to serve him, he says, follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus knew that his death would produce life. The New Living Translation of John 15 verse 1, and then I'm going to say something here that might kind of like shock you, but here we go. He says, I'm the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they can produce even more fruit. And you wonder why you're in the fire, because he's trying to prune you. He says in verse 3, you have already been pruned and purified with the message I've given you. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. And so what we have is a lot of Christians who are single, who have become consumer-minded and not servant-minded. Oh, it's what's in it for me. Jesus, I'm serving you, but what you gonna give me? What you gonna do for me? I've been single now for 20 years. I ain't seen him yet, Lord. Well, Lord, I'm tired. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody just was in their prayer closet. This was how your prayer sounded. I'm tired, Lord. I hear the Lord telling you he tired too. He tired of you being tired. Because if you dead, a dead man can't be tired. He says, yes, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Watch verse 8. When you produce much fruit, you are my disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father. Singles, let me explain something to you. Some of you, your desires have become your idols. An idol is something you want so bad that you don't realize that you'll violate, watch this now, principles to keep your idol. Now, we don't worship images, you know, like, I'm not going to worship this stand. So you say, well, I'm not, the idol is what you want. And it's like you're holding God hostage until you get it. The problem is, all he's waiting on you to do is to die. Yes, sir. Let me tell you something about a dead man. You can't hurt a dead man's feelings. Let me tell you what else about a dead man. That dead man ain't sitting around counting how many years he didn't get something. No. A dead man is a dead man. And if you are going to experience the more than abundant life that Christ is talking about, you're gonna have to surrender your desires and say, okay, Jesus, it's me and you now. Watch this now. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, you need to set your sights on realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at the right hand of God. Think about the things of heaven, not on earth. For you, watch this church, you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. So I'm about to say something now that's going to hurt. So just touch your neighbor and say, this is going to hurt a little bit. Single people must demolish the lie that God wants you happy. Y'all don't even know how to act to that. Y'all don't know how to react to that. It's like, whoa, I feel a certain type of way about that. What did he mean by that? Break it down for me, Pastor. Let me read it again. Single people must demolish the lie that God wants you happy. There is nowhere in the Bible God say he wants to make you happy. Let me tell you what God is more interested in. He's more interested in you being fulfilled. Fulfillment and being happy is different, because I said this in our men's meeting. We were never created to be fulfilled from what God created. We were created to be fulfilled by the God that created it. I'm going to say that again. We were never created to be fulfilled from what God created. We were created to be fulfilled by the God that created it. Some of us are trying to get fulfillment from stuff and from people. And I'm telling you, your fulfillment in life is not going to come from what God created. It's going to come from the God that created it. Some things that God needs to do through you must first start with God getting some things out of you. And so here's the core of what I want to talk about. And that's discipline. There are a lot of people in this room right now that need some discipline. Let me ask you a question. How can your future mate depend on you when God came? Oh, I'm going to say this over here, right here. Let me see. Let me say it again. How can your future mate depend on you when God can't depend on you? Okay, let me rewind that. Let me try it a different way. How can God trust your future mate to depend on you when God can't depend on you? So you know what needs to happen. You know what needs to happen. Discipline needs to take place. And that's where the word disciple comes from. It comes from the word discipline. Everybody say discipline. But here's the thing. Discipline is not fun. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, New Living Translation says, as you endure this divine discipline. Everybody say divine discipline. See, that's when God dealing with you behind the scene that don't nobody know he dealing with you on. See. Oh, people think grace is easier. Jesus said, well, the law said if you commit adultery, you sin. Jesus said if you just think about them and you did it. So this is God dealing with you with stuff, divine discipline. He says, remember that God is treating you as his children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers and they disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of our father, of the father of our spirits and live forever? By our earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a few years doing the best that they knew how. But God's discipline, everybody say God's discipline. God's discipline is always good for us. God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the King James. Or a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained. In other words, what he's saying is abundant life is going to come through abundant death. And abundant death only happens when we die to our wills. That's discipline. So here's the last point. Abundant life comes when we consistently yield to his will. And so over the years, I got a revelation that God was wanting me to keep saying yes. So I'm going to give y'all a series of yeses so y'all can see what I'm saying, because there are some yeses. See, because some of y'all's yeses need to be, you see, you ain't made a decision yet to be celibate. That's why you can't do it. Christ cannot give you strength to do something you ain't decided to do. And so you ain't decided you want to be celibate. That's why you ain't had strength to do it. Wow, that was just too real, wasn't it? So I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I said yes. So I grew up Presbyterian. Really didn't know too much Bible. The Bible I learned is the Bible I read. Said in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. I'm getting ready to graduate from college. I realized I need to ask the Lord. I had 5 job opportunities. I need to figure out which one he wants me to pick. He tells me which one he wants me to pick. It's not only out of state, but it's the lowest paying one. I'm like, well, ain't you the God of increase? Ain't you the God of more than enough? Why are you having me to pick the lowest one? I had to say yes. Then the lowest one became the highest paid one. Then I'll never forget, go on a missions trip. It's all cool. Get on the campus of this school. It's in Jamaica. Lord want me to go to school there. I'm like, the Lord don't want me to go to school here. I done went to college for 4 years. I swore I would never read another book. And the Lord is telling me he wants me to go to school in Jamaica. Quit my job. This is in 1990, y'all. I was making $40,000 a year back in the day. And you want me to quit my job? Are you kidding me, God? You are not telling me to quit my job. You wrote a whole book in the Bible called Job. You'll get that later. You'll get it later. Some of y'all slow too. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the book of Job, his job, you know. He wanted me to quit my job, go to school. That was another yes. Let me back up. I move to a different state. I had to say yes. Take that low paying job. I had to say yes. I'm praying one day. The Lord tell me he wanted me to preach. I didn't want to say yes to that. And I didn't right up front. I'm like, I'm not saying yes to that. I don't want to be no preacher. No. Who wants to be a preacher? What kind of life is that? People tell you how you ought to be living. I mean, I don't even need to read the Bible. Y'all just tell me how I'm supposed to be living. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And then, you know, y'all don't understand. I'm getting, I ain't going to look at First Lady right now. No, I'm saying, listen, in 1990, y'all, I had a Louis Vuitton briefcase. In 1990. I don't buy this stuff because I'm a pastor. That's just me. And preachers, dude, I'm not doing that. I went and told my pastor, I was like, you know, I think the Lord wanted me to preach. He said, yeah, he does. He told me, and he told me not to tell you. I'm like, duh. I had to say yes. There was another yes. Then I had to say yes to go to Bible school. Then I had to say yes to move here to Arlington. Then I had to say yes to accept the call to be a pastor. I had to say yes to build this building because I wanted to buy one. What I'm saying to you is the abundant life that you want to experience in Jesus Christ is not connected to stuff. It's connected to your obedience to him, and your obedience to him will never happen until your will dies. Let's close by reading this. Matthew 26:36, it says, then come Jesus unto a place called Gethsemane, the worst day of his life. he told his disciples, sit here while I go and pray. And so he took Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. He says, stay here and watch with me. And verse 39, it says, and he went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed and he says, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And then he says, nevertheless, read it with me, church. Not as I will, but thy will. Verse 40, he comes to his disciples. They're sleeping. He said, can you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray so you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Then he goes again. He went away again the second time. And he prayed, Father, if this cup cannot pass from me except I drink it. Read it with me, church. Thy will be done. And he came back and they were asleep again. And then he left them again. And watch what the Bible says. And he prayed the third time. Watch this. The same words. So here's the reality. If Jesus struggled to yield to God's will, you gonna struggle to yield to God's will. But here's the other side of God's will that your flesh and the devil does not want you to see. On the other side of you yielding to God's will, the other side of that, you know what's on the other side? The more than abundant life. And I can tell you something. It does not mean you won't have challenges in life. And it doesn't mean you're not going to have difficult times. And it's not going to mean that people won't betray you. And it won't mean none of that stuff. You're going to have, listen, you're going to have that stuff happen to you even if you're not saved. But what I do know is that on the other side of your will dying, because that's what I had to. So now you have to live a life of a dyed will. And see, the devil, what he does, he wants you to think that nothing good is going to come out of a life like that. Holy Spirit telling you, don't date him. Don't date him. And everything on the outside looks just like on your list. I mean, check. He fine. Check. He got a job. Check. He love his mama. Check. He pay his child support. Check. All these checks. Check, 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 check. But here's the problem. The problem with your list is that it needs revision. You say, what does that mean? You have had four dudes with that list and none of them came out right. Is it the dudes or is it the list? It's the list. You need a revised list. What does that mean? Re means again. You got to get God's vision. And make it your vision. And I can tell you this right now. God will take something that happened bad to you and work it out if you don't make it your idol. You know, some people have made pain their idol. You say, well, pain ain't my idol. Listen, your pain is running everybody off. Obviously, it's your idol. You ain't got over it. So everybody somebody talk to you. Is this happening? This happening? It's your idol. That's good. That's good. But I'm going to tell you something. God will take what the devil meant for evil. And he'll turn it around for good. I'm telling you. God will take what somebody tried to do to destroy you. And he will work that thing together for your good, but you gotta trust him enough to let him do it. You can't devastate or destroy me if my heart has been sold out to him. Oh, he's going to teach me a lesson in it. But guess what? He's going to work it together for my good. And I promise you, singles, and I'm testifying, I'm almost, give me five more minutes. I'm testifying right now. What I know. See, you can't tell me the Bible don't work, because I done already experienced his promises. See, what you don't know is God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. The problem is you got to let your will die enough for him to, for you to see his. And when I went through divorce, I was like, I ain't getting married no more. Not because it was a bad experience. It's just because I was like, I don't need that. I'm 60. Shoot, man, I can do what I want to do. Of course, according to the word of God. Got to put that in there. Got to put that in there. According to the word. I was like, no, I just work and just do what I do, right? Speak places, go where, you know, I got time to write some books. If I'm, you know, I was doing all that. And so I was 75%. I ain't getting married. 25%, I'm open to Jesus. And here it was. I had an opportunity to do something that I didn't want to do. Pastor Lisa came to me and said, Pastor, Dr. Nix, that's Sharice's brother, he had asked to use the foyer of our church to do his book signing. Well, I don't let members do that. You let one member do it, they don't want to do it. So nobody ain't doing it. He came to her. He was like, can you ask Pastor? You think Pastor let me use the foyer? And Pastor Lisa at the time, I don't know what got into her. She was like, well, I don't know. You should ask him. And I'm like, you know. You know. So she called me to try to head him off. She got to catch up. She got to get to me before he does. She's like, you know, Pastor, Dr. Nick said, you think he would let you use the foyer? I was like, well, did you tell him no? She was like, well, no, I didn't tell him no. I was like, well, I'll just tell him no when he called me. I said, and so she was like, no, Pastor, would you pray about it? I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I ain't got to pray about my own rules. That don't make sense to me. But then I didn't want to sound unspiritual because she was like, could you pray about it? I'm like, I mean, what does that sound like? No, I don't want to pray about it. Well, she trapped me. I was like, okay, I'll pray about it. I ain't going to say I'm going to pray about it. I don't pray about it. Prayed about it. The Lord told me to do it. That shocked me. I'm like, the Lord is bypassing my rules. What's going on? I guess it's his church. He can do what he want to do. So I had to have a staff meeting. Tell the staff, hey, you know, this is what's happening. If any members come up to you and say, well, why Pastor Ed, let him use it for you? Just send them to me. I ain't going to even try to explain it. Send them to me. So long story short, y'all know what happened after that. I'm doing something. Listen, I'm doing something I didn't even want it to be done in here. But God, I already knew. He was setting me up. And this is why you have to be sensitive to his will, even if it contradicts your will. Because my will was not to have that book signing in our foyer. But because it was his will. And I found his will in his will in that church. And y'all be thinking, Pastor, you know, the First Lady be all quiet and stuff. Pastor, First Lady ain't quiet now. She might act quiet. She ain't, you know, Cause she sat up there in that, you know, in that foyer fanning. She was like, are you the pastor of this church? I was like, yes. Well, why the air conditioner don't work in this church? First of all, let me give you context. It was wintertime. Let's start with that. I said, the air conditioner work in this church. The question is, why are you hot right now? Hello. Hello. What's my point? What's my point? If you don't yield to his will, you will not experience his abundant life. Did y'all get something today? So with every head bowed, there are some singles in this room that need